Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We've got Emily and Si here. They're going to talk to us about Coriolanus.
We are.
Coriolanus.
We are indeed. Yeah.
Go on then. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Emma and Si.
See, my sister's called Emma, which is really weird.
Right.
We are doing another Shakespeare.
Right.
We're quite known for doing Shakespeare. And we thought we'd do something a bit different this year.
You're not doing it in a field, then?
We are not doing it in a field, so you won't need your cagoule.
Right.
Or your poncho.
Right.
You will need to come to Newport, because we're doing it in the Minster.
No.
By candlelight.
That should be fantastic.
Which is going to be really good.
Have we got to bring our own candles?
No, but wouldn't that be great?
It would be great if everyone just brings candles, just for that kind of like the old rock concerts where everyone got their lighters up.
Yeah, old style, yeah. They use phones now, but
I was going to say it was a bit risky in the 80s when everyone had hairspray and all the lighters going up. I'm wondering.
The Minster's a fabulous space.
Yes.
I've been in there a few times, and I think it's going to lend itself very nicely to this.
Yeah, I think one of the other things is we can get really close as well. It's quite an intimate venue, despite its size. And it means that we were able to do something different with the acting. Mm-hmm. So we're able to do a bit more kind of close-up stuff.
All right.
We still got the quite intense fights, which do go quite close to the audience. So it is quite exciting, but there is a risk assessment in place, so don't worry about that.
So you're not going to get soaking wet in the pouring rain, then?
No.
Or alternatively sunburned. We did
before. No, all that.
No.
But no, I mean, it's a different space. What's the basis of Coriolanus?
Oh,
so we did Caesar last time.
Yeah.
And Caesar happens at the end of the Roman Republic.
Right.
Coriolanus happens near the beginning.
Right.
And they're still kind of trying to work out what the Republic is and what it should be.
Right.
And it's not the kind of over-encompassing big dominant force it was. So you get the independent tribes of villages, which would later amalgamate into the Roman Empire.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
So there's a lot of kind of tension in the air.
And Coriolanus is a Roman general who is heavily influenced by his mother into following the path of politics after he wins the name of the war in Coriolis, which is how he gets his name, Coriolanus.
Mm.
And he's pushed into politics and pushed into going for consul, and he already has a bit of an issue with anybody that he considers not to be part of the nobility.
Right.
He looks on the everyday citizens with a lot of disdain and a lot of arrogance.
Yep.
And when he is then forced to try to speak to them, it obviously ends disastrously. We should probably say this is a tragedy. So
whilst we won't
spoil the ending,
being Shakespeare,
you can probably guess which road it's going to go down. So,
yes.
Yeah.
All right, so are there sort of like set piece speeches in it as they are in opera?
There are a few good moments. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a few lines that turn up in Shakespeare quote calendars and things
right,
like that.
Right, okay.
But in terms of like a to be or not to be, or a kind of friends, Romans, countrymen, there's not one of those ones, but there are some fabulous speeches. It's a really good kind of working out what does it mean to be a Roman, or in this case, what does it mean to be a man and a hero and a soldier and a politician?
What are the consequences of the decisions that come with that? And what are the consequences of acting against your nature?
Yeah, it's the nature versus
being
nurture,
something
isn't it?
You're not.
So who's playing Coriolanus?
So Emily once again is donning her breeches, which is quite nice.
And the stern expression.
Yes.
And it's the gait that changes every single time. You know, when she's in character, suddenly a kind of Roman soldier gait comes into play.
And how many have you got in the cast this time?
There are 16 of us in total.
That's quite a lot.
So it is quite a lot. There are a few that are appearing, like Si is stepping onto stage, and Patch, as our producer, is also stepping onto stage for a couple of bits to kind of fill in cameo roles and be part of the combat elements of it.
Mm.
But in terms of principals, I think there's sort of 9 or 10 principal.
Okay.
And then a couple of very talented, we've been calling them swings, which is not the correct terminology. That's a musical theatre terminology, obviously, but they're multi-rollers, basically, that take on everything from senator to citizen to soldier
everything
to servant,
everything
in between.
Right.
And every character's different. So
you're directing, are you, Si?
Yeah, I'm directing this year. I've and casting and doing all that kind of bits and pieces, which is really good. But it was quite nice because I went to Adlib and said, I've got this vision, which always sounds a bit kind of cheesy and a bit kind of strange. I've got this vision of what I want it to be.
Well, that's what the director's supposed to do.
Yeah, I know, but I always felt a bit kind of a...
It does sound cheesy, but...
I have the vision that I want.
Yeah, but you know in your head what it's supposed exactly. to look like and how it's supposed to
yeah.
appear.
Well, yeah, and also sound, which is quite important, because this year we're really lucky to have... two fabulous composers, and one of them is listening from the wilds of Ramsbottom.
All right,
which is Greater Manchester, which is up there, and so that's Matt and Liam, who's a doctor of music in York.
York.
So he does that kind of, and Matt's been in bands like Total Victory, things like that. Who've done lots of work over the years, and I heard that what they were doing. I was really interested, and I thought, can we get it so that the soundtrack could be another character, which again is a bit cheesy, but it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And they've come up with a really interesting soundtrack of sounds and ambiguous noises.
I just think that shows how versatile Shakespeare is.
Yes, it still works.
What you can do with it. You can you can go down the terribly well-spoken English path and make it... or you could do it a bit more like Shakespeare wanted it. Or you could add in some new stuff. Why
exactly.
not?
I mean, and one of the great things I think we've always said is that the lines are just the lines, and they're so flexible, and they still mean, and they still speak to us 500 years later.
Yeah.
And you can add a bit of music to it, and it looks in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think one of the great things that Emily does and the cast does is they're able to take those lines and create these amazing characters, I think. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, and it's great fun to work through some of those bigger speeches and some of those more intense scenes where you've got very limited stage directions, and there are a dozen ways that you could read it, there are a dozen ways that you could act it and interpret it, and whatever decision you make, you can almost guarantee that the entire audience will not see it the same way as you have in your head chosen to portray it, because they'll have been watching, and again, this is the beauty of an intimate space like the Minster, and we're doing it almost in the round as well, so someone might be watching one character for a speech and be thinking, oh wow, you know, I'm rooting for them. Someone else might be watching the reaction of another character and go a completely different way in their head because of that intimacy and that close proximity, and because of the flexibility and versatility of Shakespeare's source material.
Mm. Mm. I mean, Shakespeare wrote a lot of stuff that was based in what in his day was history by then.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he chose that, but perhaps because it was available.
Well, also, he got into a lot of hot water because he tended to write kind of... with political message, not political message, but kind of message at the time.
Yeah.
And his plays got kind of coerced to kind of be commentary on what it is to be a monarchy and what it is to be kind of faithful to your king, hence Macbeth, you know, what it's like and all these kind of bits and pieces. So he would write with kind of an idea in mind with a kind of old Roman tale that he's found. And I think Coriolanus is very intense. It's very kind of... It's one of his later plays.
Yeah.
Quite... dark in content, but there are, as there always are in Shakespeare tragedy, there are moments of levity, there are moments that are funny, because none of the characters knows that they're in a tragedy. To them, it's just every day. Well, that's the point.
Of course,
they don't go, oh, today is a Tuesday, it is tragic.
A tragic Tuesday,
and it's been the whole day being miserable. To them, it's a normal day.
Yes.
And it's the events that are tragic.
Right.
And also, I've always been a kind of big believer that you can't have the truly tragic moments unless there's a lighter moment before it. And the whole Shakespeare's up and down.
Yeah.
If it's all tragic, where do you go?
Yeah, it becomes very one-dimensional then, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I mean, I've seen productions of Hamlet which seem about 17 hours long because they have made it tragic all the way through. The best versions are the ones that go up and down. Same with Coriolanus. Mm. There are moments of lighthearted, there are moments of lovely, lovely moments of tenderness in there, and then there's really harsh bits, and it just kind of goes in a wave all the way through it.
Yeah, but that's a great observation, though, isn't it, that it isn't tragic until it is tragic because it's just normal,
it's
as
just
you say.
Normal day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. When we know it's at the Minster, when?
Yes, so the 28th, 29th and 30th of November. So on the 28th and 29th, which is the Friday and Saturday, it's at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday the 30th, it is at 4:30. The tickets are £10 for adults, £8 for students. And they're available from ticketsource.co.uk/adlibtheatre.
Dash slash.
Dash slash.
That's your fight choreography, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dash slash.
My head is in fight mode already. Yeah, so well, again, we've frozen our prices again because Shakespeare should be accessible. And in a time where people are really, really struggling, then, you know, everybody deserves a night out at the theatre. Everybody deserves to enjoy a bit of entertainment. And Shakespeare is already fighting against a lot of preconceptions and stigma in terms of the material and it being quote unquote boring or heavy. So we can bring people in by making it feel like it's approachable, accessible. And one of those things is the price.
We've always said when we've come on here that Shakespeare is genuinely for everybody. Yeah, people think you must be this intellectual. And it's not. It's for everybody. He used to joke about the groundlings being the scumbags who come watch his plays.
Yeah.
It is genuinely for everybody.
It is. I mean, we've said this before. We'll say it again. Because he wrote those plays for a drunken audience.
Yeah.
Yep.
They were very unforgiving.
They were throwing beer at him.
Yeah. Beer and pie and all sorts. Yeah.
A real rabble in the audience.
Well, yeah. They also didn't have a choice.
No.
It's not that they could change channels. They went to watch a play and it had better be good.
Yeah. Because they'd paid whatever it was to go in there, and they'd already fairly tanked up by the time I got in, I would imagine.
Oh, we've all had those gigs.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
So, the whole thing, I think the sort of Hollywood and the upper class theatre bit, that really took it away from its roots.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a time where Shakespeare became very much considered for the elite and
a place to be seen.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's really nice to be bringing it back to its kind of grassroots and its
well, we're going to be seen because we've got our tickets.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So just give us the dates and times again.
So the 28th, 29th and 30th of November at Newport Minster, and £10 for adults, £8 for students. ticketsource.co.uk/adlibtheatre.
Can we get the Master of Disguise as well?
Not yet.
Not yet. No. Okay.
Thank you for coming in, and thank you for putting on Shakespeare for us. We really do enjoy it.
You didn't mention your friend in Bolton.
Oh, I have, yes. He's not in Bolton. He's a bit more high class than that. He's in Ramsbottom.
Oh, right.
And Liam's in York, so
York, that's pretty posh.
All part of Andy Burnham's kingdom, so, it's up there.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing @vectisradio.fm.